ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's one of Australia's most baffling unsolved missing persons cases. In 2007, three adults and a five-year-old girl vanished from Western Australia amid rumours of bizarre behaviour, cults and dark secrets.
Yep, because we're trying to track them down.
I'm Dominique Bayens, and I've been investigating for the new season of Expanse, The Nan Up 4.
I was starting to think this is not going to end well.
Subscribe to Expanse wherever you get your podcasts.
At any given second of any day, it's estimated that more than 1 million people are flying. Thousands of aeroplanes simultaneously crisscrossing the planet on defined paths, sometimes circling around busy hubs so they can take their spot in a landing queue, always at a safe distance behind the plane in front. It's a carefully balanced system. So what happens when one of the world's biggest hub regions shuts down without notice?
Airports across the Middle East still in chaos following thousands of flight cancellations.
It has thrown travel plans into chaos for thousands of Australians.
International travel has been plunged into chaos as major airports and airlines in the region cancel flights.
This is Lab Notes from ABC Radio National. I'm Jonathan Webb, and today I'm joined by the Science Unit's own Amy Briggs, who's been looking into the current status of the city in the sky. G'day, Amy.
Hello, Jonathan.
Now, tell me about the section of the global air network that sort of dropped off the map this week. Just how important are these three nearby hubs, Dubai, Abu Dhabi and Doha?
Yeah, so the three really represent the biggest international airports in the region, the airports that have the most infrastructure to support both passenger planes and cargo planes. Dubai in itself is the busiest international airport for travelling passengers.
Right.
So it's a huge area. And also especially for Australians, Abu Dhabi is quite the common point of stoppage on your way to Europe, to London and things. So yeah, quite an important region.
So clearly critical. How many bums on how many rows of seats are we talking going in and out of this region on a normal day?
Well, I mean, even this week there was scheduled to be 10 million seats filled on planes going in and out.
Wow.
For Australia ourselves, there was supposed to be about 123,000 seats. So that's, yeah, quite a few people who are missing their journeys.
So let's imagine a normal day then. Those 10 million people-ish coming in and out in the course of a week. How would a pilot be navigating this part of the world in situation normal?
So, I mean, in situation normal and every day, planes will have a designated route that they need to take before they even take off. So pilots will be told kind of the direction that they're going. I guess similar to us, you know, before you take off on a road trip, you plan out what roads you're going to take. And so how they navigate this is a really interesting question, because obviously, you know, when you're in the air, you can't see what countries you're
flying over. There's no roads.
You're flying over. No,
you can't
no.
see the borders. Yeah.
It's not like Google Maps displays, you know, over the earth and you can see all the roads. So it's, yeah, it's quite tricky for pilots. But basically what they use is a system of virtual markers in the air. And so kind of like on Google Maps where you'll have a point of interest, they have many points of interest over like a highway in the sky or an imaginary highway. These points are called waypoints. There's a massive database full of them. And so pilots will, yeah, they'll use a bunch of different systems to navigate to the next waypoint. And so when they reach a waypoint, that's a point where local air traffic control will check in with them.
Okay.
So, yeah, so they'll often give information about like the weather coming up and any big news that's including if there's closures of airspace or big stuff happening in the region that they're supposed to get to. So the way that the pilots actually find the next waypoint is just using a few different systems. So they still use radar, like the same sort of radar that you would think of for like 1940s airplanes and things, but it's mostly to keep track of weather events. And often there will be reroutes because of weather. So this, it's not uncommon to reroute or change routes, but yeah, it's often not because of conflict. So
what does it actually mean, that closure of the airspace? How does that get decided and then communicated, say, to a pilot who's currently in the air?
Yeah, so when a country decides to close its airspace, I mean, it's a pretty big deal. So they put out what's called a notice to airmen, which is an interesting term nowadays, but
slightly old school, such a thing. So no TAM, N-O-T-A-M.
Yes, and essentially at the time that it is given, air traffic controllers will be able to get in touch with the pilots and say that this is happening. At the same time, they also reach out to airlines that have planes that are either landing or flying or taking off from that airspace. And kind of from there, it depends on where the planes are as to what happens. So when a country closes its airspace, it's not like a legally binding thing where pilots will be fined if they fly through the airspace. It's
right. Okay. It's just enter at your own risk.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's what this notice is saying. It's and it also contains a lot of details about the level of restrictions. So whether or not it's absolutely a no-fly zone, or if it's the case that they can only fly at a certain altitude. Yeah, so that's like the, it depends on the level of closure.
If they're a long way from home, what happens next? I guess it's lots of contact with different airports on the ground to figure out a plan.
It is a big decision, because if you're being rerouted, and especially from this region, the surrounding airports may not necessarily have the facilities to take those massive planes. And so there's a lot of considerations that go into place as to whether, okay, can the airport refuel our plane, you know, to get us back up in the air? Can they actually take the passengers off? Do they have ladders that are big enough? You know, do they have space? Is there space in the landing queue?
Quite a dance for everyone involved. And then wherever everyone ends up going for the air traffic controllers, I guess, bringing everyone in to land one at a time as well. Mm. And then if, as we're learning, there's an extended closure for days, or fingers crossed, not weeks. To what extent have you learned that the rest of the network can kind of absorb the traffic that would otherwise have been traveling through the Middle East? Is there room for other routes and ports to get busier?
Well, this is the kind of question that I'm honestly surprised that there isn't a straightforward answer to this, but essentially, yeah. The whole network is not prepared for a situation like this, because on normal times they're running close to capacity. Like these are businesses, they want to, you know, get as much business as possible, and so you have very tight schedules. And if we're thinking, for example, on a particular route, so say for Australia, right? If you're going to Europe, and instead of going through Sydney to Dubai, Dubai to London or whatever, you could possibly go through Singapore. And so Singapore, massive, massive international hub, very, very busy airport, already is running to capacity on a normal day. And so really, yes, there is limited capacity to increase the amount of flights into these hubs, but it's often, and it will be often, maybe at off-peak times.
Right.
So you have to navigate like countries' agreements and things. There's a lot of legal logistics in place that need to be changed as well. So.
And what have you learned about how long it might take to catch back up?
At the very least, I've been told for a given day of closure at an airport, it would take weeks to make up.
Wow.
The flights that were lost. And so considering this kind of no end in sight for how long these restrictions will be in place, it really is the case that it's going to be affecting passengers and the businesses of these airports for months. I mean, especially considering Dubai is damaged. So their capacity already to...
Is reduced.
To, is yeah, reduced, right. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Amy Briggs, for sharing your lab notes with me.
Thank you.
You can find Amy's article about how this global disruption is unfolding on the ABC News website. We'll put a link in the show notes. This episode of Lab Notes was made on Gadigal, Wurundjeri and Menang Noongar country. The producer is Fiona Pepper. I'm Jonathan Webb. Catch you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.